beginning of a journey. The prayers of Queen Kunti are very wonderful. Is there a Bhagavad Gita nearby? Yeah. Thank you. Ta. Here, in our Bhagavad Gita, let's look at this picture. Now, this isn't the exact picture I would like everyone to think about, but I don't know how good your eyesight is. But just look at this beautiful Krishna in his armor, addressing the Bhagavad Gita, speaking to see Arjun. Can you see? So beautiful. Everything Krishna is called Bhushanam, Bhushanananam. He is the ornament of the ornaments that he wears, because an ornament's purpose is to beautify the body. But Krishna is so wonderful that the ornament is beautified when Krishna wears it. This beautiful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Krishna, in this picture here, he is the chariot driver of Arjuna. He's taking that position. But this very wonderful, beautiful personality is now not the chariot driver of Arjuna, but he has stepped upon the chariot himself, and he has his own driver, whose name is Naraka. And he's about to leave, depart, from having protected the Pandavas. He's about to depart for Dwarka, which is his home. He has his family members there, the Yadus are there, the Vrishnis are there. All his family members are there. He's been apart for them, from them. Beautiful Krishna has just saved, by his potency, he's just saved the Pandavas and Maharaj Prickett within the womb. He's just saved them from the Brahmastra throne, the deadly Brahmastra that never misses its mark. He saved the Pandavas and the heir of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Prickett within the womb, from this deadly Brahmastra. He's leaving, and Kunti Devi stops him and begins speaking and offering prayers and obeisances. Namaste Purusham Tadyam. Remember, this beautiful Krishna is Purusham Tadyam, the original personality. Original personality, what does that mean? That he, this person, is the origin of everything. He's our origin, he's the origin of our parents, he's the origin of the trees, the origin of the sun, the moon, the universes, stretching back since the beginning of time, which has no beginning. It is Krishna, this beautiful personality, sitting upon the chariot with his driver Dwarka, looking scarcely more than 20, 25, 28 years old, who's inside and outside of everything, on the chariot, having protected the Pandavas. He's all pervading yet localized. He's in one place, but he's every place. And he has characteristics. Practically the first thing we hear is how he had protected the Pandavas. That means that he protects his devotees. And we just heard yesterday that he's partial to everyone. A few days ago we heard Jiva Goswami's comment that Krishna is partial to his devotees, but he wants to be partial to all living entities. So it's not exactly a partiality, because he wants to be partial to all living entities. And there, this mysterious, even contradictory personality who possesses what is known as Achintya Shakti, inconceivable power, that he can take the contradictory, most contradictory and bewildering things, such as him being the source of everything, such as him being all-pervading, such as him being localized, and bring those to a reconciliation without any difficulty. Mysterious personality who is not under the modes of material nature, who is free to act, not impelled by anything. Atmaramayo Shantaye. He is fully self-satisfied, but yet he acts not to gain anything, but yet he acts. And he has a personality. And oh, what a wonderful, all-charming personality he has. And Kunti Devi has just said reasons. First, she expresses her bewilderment in one sense as to this personality. Unborn, contradictory, yet he's taken his birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He is the impartial Lord, but yet it doesn't look like he's treating everyone impartially. Some people get one thing and another person gets another thing. But yet he's completely impartial. Yet he's partial to his devotees. Yet he's impartial in that he wants everyone to be a devotee. And he has taken his birth. Why? To glorify the members of the Yadu dynasty. To invigorate the process of hearing and chanting. To bewilder us with his all-attractive, charming pastime, such as the one that Kunti Devi mentioned, where he's crying, real tears are coming from his eyes when Mother Yasoda is holding a stick to him and saying, Krishna, you're being too naughty. You have stolen butter, you have broken the butter pot, and you have munificently distributed the butter to the monkeys. Must punish you now. And Krishna's crying, and the mascara is running down his eyes and beautifying his wonderful, the beautiful face. And Kunti Devi knows that this one who is crying is Purusham Tadyam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Prakritim Param, the Supreme Controller of all Prakriti. And yet, tears are running down his eyes, so she says, oh, this is so bewildering. And we heard yesterday how Krishna performs his pastimes to invigorate the process of devotional service, which consists of hearing and chanting. This is the this is the essence of the process of bhakti, hearing about Krishna and chanting his glories. So Kunti Devi explains that this is why Krishna has come. Because when Krishna performs his pastimes, it gives all living entities something to talk about and something to hear about that will save them from birth and death and carry them to the lotus feet of Krishna. And stop the materialistic garbage from entering the holes of our ears. Because the ears must be filled with something. With our eyes, we can close them and stop seeing. and we can open them. With our hands that we use to touch, we can stop them from operating. But how do you stop your ears, practically speaking? Even if you go like this, you can still hear. The ears are always open, even when we sleep. And the trick is to always keep them filled with Krishna Katha. So to enliven us, to invigorate us in the process of devotional service, Shinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, so that we accept the process of hearing and chanting, Krishna comes. And therefore, what will be the result of attentively and strongly grasping and holding on to the process of hearing and chanting? Kunti Devi has said that the conditioned soul suffering from material pangs. What does material pangs mean? What's a material pang? That's an interesting word, pang. A material pang. It sounds like a soft drink or something. Have you had your pang today? What's an example of a material pang? Yeah? Yeah, hankering, lamenting. Pang means suffering. Disease. What else? Pangs of material life. Yeah, birth, death, intense desire, frustration, diseases, the lust, the anger, the illusion, the fighting. These cause such distress within the heart of the living entity. And one can be freed from this if we take advantage of hearing, remembering, and worshipping Krishna. This alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So now, after describing this wonderful personality, offering him obeisances, offering him prayers, now Kunti Devi is going to present her actual prayers to Krishna. She wants something from Krishna. Not, I want something for you. She hasn't taken any courses in aggressive... Assertiveness. No. But very, very sweetly she has glorified Krishna. But still she wants to make a humble request. Placed a submission before him. What was she asked for? Text 37, she says, Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy? And we have no one else to protect us now when all kings are at enmity with us? On one hand, the Pandavas, and certainly Queen Kunti Devi, has never, practically, since the birth of the Pandavas, they have never been in a more favorable situation. Previously, their protectors, Dhritarashtra especially, was their avowed enemy, trying to do away with them, so his own sons could be placed on the throne. And now, after the battlefield, the battle of Kurukshetra, the war is over, the fight is over, and Yudhisthira Maharaj is the king. So in one sense, they're in the best situation. But Kunti Devi said, you have executed all your duties yourself, indicating that all this was Krishna's will. And she's wondering, Krishna, are you leaving us now? As if we don't need you anymore? When we were in distress? Yes. When we were in such difficulty, you stayed with us. But now I want to remind you that our difficulties are not over. Why? We're still completely dependent on your mercy, as we were always dependent on your mercy. And even the external difficulties, they are not over. Because there is, the Prabhupada will explain it in his purport, the sons and the grandsons of all the kings who opposed us, they are still alive and they will attack us. We have so many enemies. We are still completely dependent on you. Here is Prabhupada's purport. The Pandavas. Now, remember what Kunti Devi is doing. She's revealing Krishna to us. Because we are so far away from Krishna. We unfortunate souls stuck with our eyes closed in the material world, seeing basically our eyelids only. We cannot actually see. Because seeing, actual seeing means seeing Krishna. So Kunti Devi, who sees Krishna, is teaching us how to see Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada and the great Acharyas are giving us insights into, further insights into Krishna, into the Lord, by explaining more deeply the mind of, explaining more deeply what Kunti Devi is revealing. So here, listen very closely to this and see how we can become an exalted personality like Kunti Devi is an exalted person and be able to see Krishna. The Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. The material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But the cruel material nature does not allow us to become independent. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt of becoming independent of the laws of nature. There is a struggle going on. There is a struggle going on, and it is to conquer, dominate and exploit nature. That is the job of the materialistic mind. How to exploit nature? All science and technology is based on this idea, so we can enjoy it. Exploit it so we can enjoy. I am Purusha and material nature is Prakriti. Bhunte Prakriti Janiha. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt of becoming independent of the laws of material nature. Rather than being dependent on nature, we want to be independent and we want nature to be dependent on us. We want to be able to snap our fingers and we want the clouds to pour rain. Notice how we have not been very successful. But in the future, this is not the first time this mood has been there, Prabhupada explains. Beginning from Ravana, who wanted to prepare a direct staircase to the planets of heaven, down to the present age, they are trying to overcome the laws of nature. They are trying now to approach distant planetary systems by electronic mechanical power. But the highest goal of human civilization is to work hard under the guidance of the Lord and become completely dependent on Him. That is not in the contemporary mood, in case you didn't notice. To become completely dependent on Him, to work hard under His guidance and depend on Him. The highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time depend completely on the Lord. Sometimes the question is, whether we should not work and just depend on Krishna or work with the best of our ability and depend on Krishna. And here is the answer. We should work with valor and yet not depend on our valor. Still, despite our heroic attempt, we cannot be successful without Krishna. So we should depend on Him, but yet work. We want to either not work or not depend on Krishna. But we're supposed to do both. Work to our best, with valor, but yet completely depend on the Lord. The Pandavas were the ideal executors of this standard of civilization. Undoubtedly, they were completely dependent on the goodwill of Lord Sri Krishna. But they were not idle parasites of the Lord. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. They were so competent. Arjuna spent so much time acquiring weapons. Yes? He spent so much time acquiring this Shakti and this power and this power. He went to the heavenly planets to acquire... But why did he do that if it was ultimately just Krishna who was going to award success? No, he had to do his part. This is the system. Still, despite their qualifications, they always looked upon the mercy of the Lord because they knew that every living entity is dependent by constitutional position. The perfection of life is, therefore, to become dependent on the will of the Lord instead of becoming falsely independent in the material world. Those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anatta, or without any guardian. Anatta means orphan. That is the word for orphan. If someone's an orphan, anat. He has no Lord. He has no guardian. Whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanata, or those having someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to be sanata, so that we can always be protected from the unfavorable condition of material existence. By the deluding power of the external material nature, we forget that the material condition of life is the most undesirable perplexity. The Bhagavad Gita therefore directs us that after many, many births, one fortunate person becomes aware of the fact that Vasudeva is all in all, and that the best way of leading one's life is to surrender unto Him completely. That is the sign of a Mahatma. All the members of the Pandava family were Mahatmas in household life. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the head of those Mahatmas, and Queen Kunti Devi was the mother. The lessons of the Bhagavad Gita and all the Puranas, specifically the Bhagavad Purana, are therefore inevitably connected with the history of the Pandava Mahatmas. For them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Who has seen a fish out of water? Has anyone not seen a fish out of water? Does the fish out of water enjoy himself? Is it possible for a fish out of water to enjoy himself? There's nothing that one can do to stop his gills from flapping in pain and terror, except place him back in the water. What anxiety the fish is in when he's out of his element of water. Complete and total anxiety. And that's compared to the Pandavas. Separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Just think about that example. How intensely the Pandavas must have been living in the and breathing the association of Krishna as their very sustenance. Srimati Kunti Devi, therefore, felt such separation like a thunderbolt Another example. Can you imagine getting hit by a thunderbolt? It would kill us. We'd be immediately finished. And the impending separation of Krishna, Kunti Devi was thinking of it in that way. And the whole prayer of the queen is to try to persuade the Lord to stay with them. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Kunti Devi wasn't thinking philosophically at this point that if I chant Krishna's names, Abhinatam Namanamano, Krishna will actually be there, so therefore it doesn't make a difference if Krishna is here or there. No. The impending separation was thought of like a thunderbolt for Kunti, and she was trying to persuade the Lord to stay with them. After the battle of Kurukshetra, although the inimical kings were killed, their sons and grandsons were still there to deal with the Pandavas. It is not only the Pandavas who are put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. So Prabhupada is taking that example and taking the pointing finger from the Pandavas who are in a difficult situation to us. We are always in a difficult situation. Even when we're at the top of the world, it's just a matter of time before the bottom falls out. This is the very nature of the material world. And the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord and thereby overcome all difficulties of material existence. It is not that the difficulties will be overcome in the sense that they will stop, but they will be blessings. As much as possible they will stop, but they will be blessings, and they will bring us closer to Krishna. So after saying that, Kunti Devi explains further in her attempt to pray to Krishna, present before Krishna her plea that he stay. She says, "Now, because Krishna is leaving, now that Yudhisthira is the king, the enemies have been killed." So the first thing she says, "No, no, no! Don't think that we're out of danger because the battle is over. Just contrary to that, we're even in greater danger." Because all the relatives are now even more inimical with us because we've killed them. So now we need you more than ever. So it appears that we're in such a elevated position as the king, but no, 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 Krishna, it is not like that. Text 38. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit. Similarly, if you do not look upon us, if you are not here to see us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. Without you, in other words, dear Krishna, we have nothing. O Gadadhar Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet. What a beautiful picture. What a sweet way of speaking Kunti Devi has. In English we'd say, Krishna, you are here. You're standing in front of me. But how sweetly she's speaking. Our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. She's saying that anything, regardless of how beautiful it is, without Krishna, is zero. Krishna is the beautifying element. I'd like to read a little of a lecture Prabhupada gave that was included in the Prayers of Kunti Devi book. Kunti Devi prays, this is Srila Prabhupada speaking, that Krishna continued to be present with her and the Pandavas. In fact, however, Krishna was not leaving the Pandavas, just as he never left Vrindavan. In the Shastra, the Vedic literature, it is said, Vrindavanam prityaja padam ekam nagacchati. Krishna never goes even one step from Vrindavan. He is so much attached to Vrindavan. How is it then that we see that Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and then far away to Hastinapur and did not return for many years? Actually, Krishna did not leave. For all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, after Krishna left, were always thinking of him and crying. The only engagement of Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, Radharani, and all the gopis, cows, calves, and cowherd boys was to think of Krishna and cry. And in this way, they felt Krishna to be present, because Krishna's presence can be felt more strongly in separation from him. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, to love Krishna in separation. Sunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, everything is vacant without Govinda, without Krishna. Everything was vacant, but Krishna consciousness was there. When we see everything as nothing, but have only Krishna consciousness, we shall have attained the highest perfection. Therefore the gopis are so exalted, having attained this perfection, they could not forget Krishna even for a single moment. When Krishna went to the forest with his cows and calves, the minds of the gopis at home were disturbed. Oh, Krishna is walking barefoot, they thought. There are so many stones and nails on the path, and they must be pricking Krishna's lotus feet, which are so soft that we think our breasts hard when Krishna puts his lotus feet upon them. Thus, they would cry, absorbed in these thoughts. The gopis were so anxious to see Krishna back home in the evening that they would stand on the path, looking to see Krishna returning with his calves and cows. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna cannot be absent from a devotee when the devotee is intensely absorbed in Krishna thought. Here Kunti Devi is very much anxious, thinking that Krishna will be absent. But the actual effect of Krishna's physical absence is that he becomes more intensely present within the mind of the devotee. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the example of his actual life, taught Vipralamba Seva, service of Krishna in separation. Tears would come from his eyes like torrents of rain, for he would feel everything to be vacant for want of Krishna. Kunti Devi continues. So it's interesting to note that people are thinking in the material world that if I depend on Krishna, no one's going to take care of me, I'm going to be impoverished, I'll always be in difficulty. Rather, I trust myself. So many people have told me that even. I believe in myself. To depend on another, as Prabhupada was explaining, is considered misfortune. But just listen to what Kunti Devi says about the opulence that comes from adopting this mood of dependence on Krishna, as the Pandavas did. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. I'm going to read Prabhupada's purport. Human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. The gigantic industrial enterprises are products of a godless civilization, and they cause the destruction of the noble aims of human life. The more we go on increasing such troublesome industries to squeeze out the vital energy of the human being, the more there will be unrest and dissatisfaction of the people in general. Although a few only can live lavishly by exploitation, the natural gifts such as grains and vegetables, fruits, rivers, the hills of jewels and minerals, and the seas full of pearls are supplied by the order of the Supreme. And as he desires, material nature produces them in abundance or restricts them at times. The natural law is that the human being may take advantage of these godly gifts by nature and satisfactorily flourish on them without being captivated by the exploitive motive of lording it over material nature. This basically is the exploitive motive of lording it over material nature. That is the motto of contemporary civilization. If we have sufficient grains, fruits, vegetables, and herbs, then what is the necessity of running a slaughterhouse and killing poor animals? A man not need kill an animal if he has sufficient grains and vegetables to eat. The flow of river waters fertilizes the fields, and there is more than what we need. Minerals are produced in the hills and the jewels in the oceans. If the human civilization has sufficient grains, minerals, jewels, water, milk, etc., then why should it hanker after terrible industrial enterprise at the cost of the labor of some unfortunate men? But all these natural gifts are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. What we need, therefore, is to be obedient to the laws of the Lord and achieve the perfection of human life by devotional service. The indications by Kunti Devi are just to the point. She desires that God's mercy be bestowed upon them so that natural prosperity be maintained by His grace. So if we depend on Krishna, one thing is produced. If we try to get technological advancement and make that the purpose of our life and the purpose of civilization and try to increase and exploit and enjoy increased technology, more facility, more, never satisfied, then a different result is produced. Okay.
Scientists, they are very much busy. Just this morning, our scientist, Tarun Dhawan, was speaking about a particle. The scientists are very much busy that the source of supply is being decreased. Just like petroleum. Petroleum gas, that is diminishing. The whole modern materialistic civilization is depending on the motor cars and aeroplanes, transportation. If the petroleum supply stops, then what will be the condition of the society? Formerly there was no need of going to see a friend at 30 miles away. Because every friend was within the village. Now because we have got motor car, we create friendship with a man who lives 50 miles away. We accept a job 50 miles away. In Hawaii, our Gosundra was going to attend office 50 miles off. By 50 miles off, in big cities, like New York, Calcutta, we have seen people are coming to attend their office from 100 miles off. I have seen also in aeroplane, there are many people in England, many workers or gentlemen were coming from Glasgow to London for working by aeroplane. So we have created a civilization that we have created a facility for transport by motor car or by aeroplane, but side by side we have created another difficulty that a man has to go to his work 300 miles away. Side by side. Formerly, a man used to walk on his field a few steps from his house. Now we have created facility of transport, therefore we have to go to work 300 miles away from home. This is the position. But they have no brain. They are thinking, they are advancing. Advancing in this way that for my livelihood I have to go 300 miles, 3 hours at least, not less than 3 hours, or 6 hours. I have to spoil. Then I can go to my office. Then I walk there whole day and again come, again 6 hours. Then I come at night to sleep along with my family for 3 hours. Yes. This is our facility. Yes. There is a story, not story, it is a fact. One day, one grown-up child was asking his mother, who is this gentleman? The father was there. So, the mother said, he is your father, my dear child. So he did not see his father until he grew 3 years or 4 years old. Because when he was child, the father was rising early in the morning. At that time child was sleeping. And he was going to office. And when he comes back, the child was sleeping. So unless the child grew 4 years old, he could not see his father. Is it not the position of this? It is a story as an instructor. Because the man, the gentleman was going off with all anyone. There are mistakes. They start at 6 o'clock from home to catch the first train. We have seen in Calcutta. First train, say 7 o'clock, and they come in Calcutta after 2 hours, at 9 o'clock. Then attend the office. And again he catches another train. 5 o'clock, we go out late at night. And Bombay has a big, big city. This is for you. So, we are advancing in science, but at the same time, the so-called science, at the same time, we are creating many disadvantages. Many disadvantages. From practical experience, I say, that when I came to your country, in India, it is very difficult to get a telephone. You have to wait in the waiting list at least for 2 years. Or you have to bribe the authorities, say, 5,000, 2,000 less. When I got this facility of telephone, because as soon as I deposited $40, the next day, the telephone was in my room. So I was very glad. But after getting my telephone, I was disturbed always. Some of my students asking, calling me, cling, cling, and Sanji, how I'm feeling at 2 o'clock at night. So I ask him, it is the time to impress. I am very sorry. Not only one, I become so much disturbed. Then I ask them, get out of this telephone. Yes. So try to understand the so-called facility of the modern science means creating so many difficulties also. That is the position.
Back to Kunti Devi. and her prayers. So she has just said that so much wealth comes naturally when one serves and depends on Krishna and follow his instructions. Everything works properly because it is Krishna that makes everything valuable. Therefore, in text 41, Kunti Devi continues with her prayers. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my ties of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vishnis. Kunti Devi was in a difficult position. She wanted Krishna to stay in Hastinapur so her Pandava sons would be safe and gain his association. But yet, where was Krishna going? He was going to Dwarka. And Dwarka was inhabited by the Vrishnis, who were also her relatives. So if the Pandavas were happy, then the Vrishnis would be crying. And if the Vrishnis were happy that Krishna was in Dwarka, then she and the Pandavas would be crying in Hastinapur. So it was an impossible situation. So her conclusion is, O Lord, just cut my affection to all my relatives. And then in the next verse, she says, O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Let me and my affection be just concentrated upon you. Now Prabhupada explains in the purport to text 41, a pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belonged to the most enlightened and cultured rich families of the higher castes. But for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. To cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. The personality of Godhead as an ideal king showed this by example. Sri Ramachandra cut off the tie of affection for his beloved wife to manifest the qualities of an ideal king. He sent her away. He sent Sita Devi away. I'll read something of what Prabhupada said in this regard. Kunti was the daughter of the Vrishni family and the wife and mother of the Pandava family. Generally, a woman has affection for both her family, her father's family, and her husband's family. And therefore Kunti prays to Krishna, I'm a woman, and women are generally attached to their families. So kindly cut off my attachment so that I may be thoroughly attached to you. Without you, both families are zero. I am falsely attached to these families, but my real purpose in life is to be attached to you. This is bhakti. Bhakti involves becoming free from the attachments of this material world and becoming attached instead to Krishna. One cannot become unattached, for one must be attached to something. But in order to become attached to Krishna or enter into the devotional service of the Lord, one has to become detached from material affection. Krishna can give us whatever we want, even mukti, liberation. But bhakti is a special consideration. Because when he gives someone bhakti, he becomes purchased by the bhakta and becomes a tool in the hands of the bhakta, even though he is the supreme powerful. Radharani, the symbol of the topmost bhakti, is so powerful that she has purchased Krishna. Therefore, Vaishnavas take shelter of the lotus feet of Radharani. For if she recommends, oh, here is a nice devotee, Krishna must accept him. To become a devotee of the Lord, one must become completely cleansed of all material attachment. This qualification is called Vairagya. Upon becoming a student of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wrote 100 verses praising him. Two of those verses are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya to teach us real knowledge. His devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thus offered his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had now assumed the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to teach people how to develop knowledge, become detached, and become pure devotees of Krishna. Although when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only 24 or 25 years old, he had a lovable, beautiful wife and a devoted, affectionate mother, he gave up everything and took sannyas, the renounced order of life. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a grihastha, a householder, he was so much honored that merely by the direction of his finger he was able to enlist thousands of people to join him in civil disobedience movement. In Nadia, the city where he lived, his position was very respectable, and physically he was very beautiful. Yet he gave up his young, faithful, beautiful wife, his affectionate mother, his position, and everything else. This is called Vairagya, renunciation. If someone who has nothing to possess says, I've renounced everything, what is the meaning of his renunciation? But if one has something and then renounces it, his renunciation is meaningful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's renunciation is unique. No one else could give up such a happy home, such honor, and such affection from mother, wife, friends, and students. Even Advaita Prabhu, although the age of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, honored Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet, still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave up everything. Why? Just to teach us. Apni Achari Prabhu Jivera Sikaya. He personally taught the whole world how one must detach oneself and become a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, when Rupa Goswami resigned his post as a government minister and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, he fell flat before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered his obeisance with this prayer. You are most magnanimous, he prayed, for you are distributing love of Krishna. Love of Krishna is not an easy thing to obtain, because by this love one can purchase Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed this love of Krishna to anyone and everyone, even to two drunkards, Jagai and Madhai. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleased, he can give Krishna prem, love of Krishna, to anyone, regardless of that person's qualification. If a person is giving charity, he can select anyone to take it. Without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding Krishna is very, very difficult. Kunti Devi therefore prays, please sever my ties of affection for my kinsmen. We are thinking, this is my own and that is my own, but this is moha, illusion. How does this illusion come into existence? It begins with the natural attraction between man and woman. A male seeks a female, and a female seeks a male. That is true not only in human society, but also in bird society, beast society, and so on. This is the beginning of material attachment. When a man finds a woman and they unite, this attachment becomes more firmly established. Now, after the attachment increases to some degree, the man and woman look for an apartment in which to live together, and then, of course, the man needs to earn money. When they are well settled, they must have children and also some friends to come and praise them. Oh, you have such a nice apartment and such nice children. In this way, one's attachment increases. A student's education, therefore, should begin with brahmacharya, which means freedom from sexual attachment. If he can, he should try to avoid all this nonsense. If not, he can marry and then after some time enter vanaprastha retired life. At that time, one thinks, now that I have enjoyed this attachment so much, let me leave home. Then the man travels all over to various places of pilgrimage to become detached, and the wife goes with him as an assistant. After 2 or 3 months, he again comes home to see that his children are doing nicely, and then again goes away. That is the beginning of detachment. When the detachment is complete, the man tells his wife, now go and live with your children, and I shall take sannyas, the renounced order of life. This is final detachment. The whole Vedic way of life is meant for detachment, and therefore Kunti prays, kindly help detach me from this family attraction. This is Kunti Devi's instruction. The next verse of Kunti Devi's was, O Lord of Madhu, we read this already, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. So on one hand there is detachment, but no one can remain detached, simply detached, because the consciousness needs to be filled with something. So if we just remain detached, some material attachment or another will come. So the answer to the question of how to remain fully detached is Kunti Devi's prayer, and that is to become fully attached to Krishna. Prabhupada explains. In the previous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti prayed that the Lord kindly cut off her attraction for a kinsman, the Pandavas, and Vrishni families. However, giving up one's attraction for material things is not sufficient. As a woman, Kunti Devi had a relationship with 2 families. That was her attachment. Therefore, she prayed to Krishna to cut off these attachments, these relationships, and free her. But after becoming free, what should she do? That is the question. What one should actually want is explained by Kunti Devi. She says, let my family relationship cease, but let my relationship with you, Krishna, be confirmed. In other words, she does not want to be attracted to anything but Krishna. This is perfection and this is actually wanted. The word Ananya Vishaya means Ananya Bhakti, undeviating devotional service. We must simply be attached to Krishna 24 hours a day without deviation. In this way, our renunciation can be perfect. If we think we can be attached to Krishna and material things at the same time, we are mistaken. We cannot ignite a fire and at the same time pour water on it. If we do, the fire will not act. The supreme activity, the Brahman, spiritual activity, is devotional service. Unfortunately, the Mayavadis do not know this. They think that the spiritual world is void. However, the spiritual world is exactly like the material world in that it has varieties. In the spiritual world, there are also houses, trees, roads, chariots. Everything is there, but without the material inebrieties. As described in the Brahma Samhita, Chintamani prakara sadma sukaupa briksha laksha vriteshu surabhi abhira bipaliantam lakshmi sahasta satasam brahma sevyamanam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires, in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, and always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune or gopis. In the spiritual world, there are kalpa vriksha trees, which yield whatever type of fruit we desire. In the material world, a mango tree cannot supply grapes, nor can a grapevine supply mangoes. In the spiritual world, however, if we take a mango from a tree and at the same time desire grapes, the tree will supply them. This is called desire tree. In this material world, we require sunlight and moonlight, but in the spiritual world, there is no need of sunlight and moonlight, because everything and everyone is effulgent. In Krishna Lila, Krishna stole butter. And the neighborhood friends of Mother Yasoda complained. Actually, they were not complaining, but they were just enjoying the bodily features and fun of Krishna. They told Mother Yasoda, "Your son comes to our house and steals butter. We tried to conceal it in the dark so he cannot see it, but somehow he still finds it out. You had better take away all his ornaments because we think that the light of his jewels helps him find the butter pot." Mother Yasoda replied, "Yes, I will take off all his ornaments." But the neighbors would reply, "No, no, it is useless. Somehow this boy has an effulgence that comes out of himself. He can find the butter even without the ornaments. Thus Krishna's transcendental body is effulgent. We may artificially renounce, but again we shall become so-called enjoyers. Such renunciation and enjoyment is like a pendulum that goes this way and that. On one side we become false renunciants, and on the other we become false enjoyers. The remedy, however, is here. If we really want to become detached from this material world, we must increase our attachment for Krishna consciousness. Renunciation alone will not help us. Therefore, Kunti Devi prays, Twayi me ananya vishaya. She prays that her attraction be constantly drawn unto Krishna, without being diverted to anything else. This is bhakti, pure devotional service. We must cultivate Krishna consciousness favorably. This means thinking of how Krishna will be satisfied. We must always think of Krishna like the gopis did. The Krishna consciousness of the gopis was perfect because they had no desire other than to try to please Krishna. That is perfection. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Ramyakachid Upasana Brajavadu Vagena Yakalpita. There is no better process by which to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead than that method adopted by the gopis. The gopis had no desire other than to satisfy Krishna. All the gopis tried to satisfy him, including the elder gopis, Yasoda and her friends. And so also did the elderly gopis like Nanda Maharaj and his friends. The boys and girls of Vrindavan, who were of the same age as Krishna, also tried to satisfy him. Everyone tried to satisfy Krishna. Even the cows, the flowers, the fruits, and the water of Vrindavan. This is because everything in Vrindavan is spiritual. Nothing is material. It is a question of consciousness. A bug may sit on the same seat with the spiritual master, but because the spiritual master has developed consciousness and the bug does not, they are different. They may be sitting in the same place, but the bug remains a bug, and the spiritual master remains the spiritual master. The position in space may remain the same, just as we remain in the material world or in the spiritual world, but if our Krishna consciousness is strong, we are not in the material world. Thus Kunti Devi prays to Krishna that he may grant her his mercy by which she can become attached to him. We cannot increase our attachment for Krishna without Krishna's mercy. We cannot become devotees without Krishna's mercy. Therefore, we simply have to serve Krishna, for by service, Krishna is satisfied. So after praying, cut my attachment to everything, but increase like the river waters unendingly flow to the sea. Please increase in that same way my attraction to you, O Krishna. And the final verse of Kunti Devi's prayers, which are, as Prabhupada will say in the purport, a summary of those prayers. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, she has seen this. She has seen that Krishna is the friend of Arjuna. O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on the earth. She has seen how Krishna has destroyed the entirety of the burden of the earth and gathered them all in Kurukshetra, and everyone finished. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distress of the cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers. She saw this. She saw Krishna protecting with his chakra the entirety of the Pandavas, all Pandavas. And she also was able to see Krishna within the womb of Uttara protecting Maharaj Prickett. All mystic powers. Mahayogin, pahi pahi, Mahayogin. Uttara prayed to Krishna. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. This mysterious Krishna, the guru of the entire universe, the possessor of all material powers, you are the almighty God who is sitting before her on the chariot, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. So in this way, Kunti Devi has prayed. And she ends her prayers in that way. Sutta Goswami said, the Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, composed in choice words for his glorification, mildly smiled. That smile was enchanting as his mystic power. Prabhupada explains in his purport. Srimati Kunti Devi has prayed to the Lord just to enunciate a fragment of his glories. All his devotees worship him in that way, by chosen words, and therefore the Lord is known as Uttama Sloka. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glories. Yet, he is satisfied by such prayers as the father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. Because no one can glorify Krishna. But when one has some bhakti and presents that bhakti to Krishna, that affection for Krishna in the form of prayers, Krishna accepts those prayers. Thus, Tadbhadam iti upamantrya. Tadbhadam means so be it, something like that. So Krishna in this way thus accepted the prayers of Srimati Kunti Devi. The Lord subsequently informed other ladies of his departure. So after hearing all the prayers, he was ready to leave. But he blessed her with that detachment and fully flowing affection and attachment to him. Tadbhidam badam. May what you desire come true. But he was getting ready to leave. He entered the palace of Hastinapur. I've been saying all along that he was sitting on the chariot. I don't know where I got that idea. Is that there? In the beginning? He got on the chariot. I think it says that. He got on the chariot and prepared to leave. Huh? He began to start for home. So it seems like if he was on the chariot, he got off the chariot. Either that or he drove the chariot into the palace. But upon preparing to leave, so Krishna was actually leaving. He has his own way of acting. He was leaving. But as he was leaving, he was stopped by King Yudhisthira. And Yudhisthira Maharaj implored him lovingly. And that begins another pastime, which we will begin in 2.5 months from now. We'll continue. Krishna was leaving, and then just as he was leaving, Yudhisthira comes and makes a plea to him. Oh, Krishna. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Definitely, it seemed that way.
But from the next purport, it reveals that although Krishna himself had tried to pacify Yudhisthira's distress from the external point of view, internally he had not allowed Yudhisthira to become pacified by what
you're getting into the next story already.
So he wasn't leaving at all.
He knows everything. This is what we're dealing with. He's the most mysterious personality. That's what Kunti Devi says. He was leaving, but he wasn't leaving. He was leaving. He's contradictory. He was leaving. And Kunti Devi's heart must have been... She was looking forward to that leaving of Krishna like we look forward to getting hit by a thunderbolt. And he was leaving, but he wasn't leaving. He's controlling everything. But yet, he's controlled by his devotees. He's such a mysterious person. He's so attractive. He has the all-attractive personality. And therefore, Kunti Devi is praying, cut everything and let me just be attracted to him. Mysterious Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any other questions? He killed the... He made a mystical Vasudeva like that, and he... Is that possible? Is it? Is it possible that he can forget he's God? Huh? Huh? That, if it's impossible to say that you're not allowed to do this, Krishna. Also, when he walked, when Agasura, see, you're dealing with something very, very inconceivable. You're dealing with Krishna's yogamaya here. That yogamaya, see, if Krishna knows everything that's going to happen, it takes the fun out of the pastime, so to speak. It's like if you saw the movie already. You know what's going to happen already, so you can't really enjoy it. So he gives yogamaya independence to act and make the pastimes very exciting for them. This is inconceivable. How could something happen that he doesn't know? But if it... So does he know or doesn't know? He knows and doesn't know. Because Yogamaya is not different from him. This also happened with Agasura. When the big snake opened up his mouth and all the boys walked in, Krishna marveled at how wonderfully his energy works, his yogamaya works. Even he is astounded by how wonderfully he does things. Because it's ultimately, it's Krishna, the energy and the energetic, and I'm different. So ultimately, it is Krishna doing that, but he's doing it in such a wonderful way that it increases his pleasure. This is Krishna's pastime energy, yogamaya, lila shakti. So if we're, it's not a silly question, it's just an inconceivable answer. Because Krishna possesses a chintya shakti. So he's very mysterious, very, very mysterious. He is neither a vindictive god nor a domesticated god who, you know, you just give him your list of what you want and he goes and he supplies it. Yeah. He's mysterious. Who? Who? Madhu. Yeah, Madhu is the name of Krishna. Oh, he's got so many names. More than 1,000.